that has come into your life to keep you straight. Praise God. Thank God for that. Now, listen, Luke 21, 27, Jesus told his disciples, "You will see the Son of Man come in a cloud with power and great glory." See, all these things are talking about, even the triumphant entry into Jerusalem is really talking about another time when Jesus will return again. He came as a humble servant riding on a donkey into the city of Jerusalem. Now, in that day, if a conquering king came who had just conquered an army in the physical realm, he would come in on a horse, a conquering symbol. He would come in there on a horse saying that he's taken over by force. But Jesus came riding on a donkey, which was a humble animal, which showing that he's coming in peace. He's a king coming in peace. And so when Jesus came at that day, he was coming as the Savior of the world. But the Scriptures declare that he's coming again. He's coming once as the Savior, but he's not coming the next time as the Savior. He's coming as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And is going to become in a whole different fashion than he did in the past. Listen to this in Zechariah 14:4. "And in that day," now this is talking about Jesus coming back, not as a Savior riding on a donkey, but as a king. "And in that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from the east to the west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north and half to the south. Then you shall flee through my mountain valley, for the mountain valley shall reach to Azeel. Yes, you shall flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Thus the Lord my God will come and all the saints with him." He is coming again. I believe it's going to look similar to this. I believe that in the days when Jesus returns to this earth, he's going to be come down to the Mount of Olives, same place he left. Remember, the angel said the same way that you've seen him go, he's going to return. He's going to come back. And when his feet touch that mountain, it's going to split. Now, at the time, there's going to be great chaos and destruction within the whole environment at that particular time. And it's going to look like mankind is going to be totally wiped out because of the war that has been taking place. And when his feet hit the mountain, there's going to be many people who are going to really recognize this is the Messiah. The one that they rejected for thousands of years, they're going to suddenly realize, the Bible says, they're going to look upon him whom they have pierced. And they're going to suddenly realize that he is the Messiah indeed. And when that mountain splits, it's going to create a great valley. And those who suddenly recognize that Jesus Christ is Lord are going to run into that valley. That valley is actually going to look like it's going to be a dangerous place to run. But because they point to Jesus, because they have faith, they will begin to run into safety into that very valley when Jesus comes back. And the Bible says that Jesus is going to change the world totally, going to shift things around totally. Micah, talking about him coming, Micah 1:3 says, "For behold, the Lord is coming out of his place. He will come down and tread on the high places of the earth. The mountains will melt under him, and the valley will split like wax before the fire, like waters poured out in a deep place." All kinds of things are going to happen when Jesus returns. Zechariah 9:9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." Do you see that? This here is prophesying about Jesus coming back on the Palm Sunday, coming on a donkey, lowly. He's having salvation with him. So he's saying he's coming and he's offering salvation to the world at this particular time on Palm Sunday. He's coming offering salvation to all those who will come to him. This is speaking. You see, this is one of the things that confused the Pharisees and the Sadducees tremendously, is because there was some scriptures that teach as Jesus coming lowly, riding on a donkey, and other scriptures teach that he's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Jewish people, the Hebrews, were looking for the king to come. They weren't looking for someone who was going to come and suffer and die on a cross for them. They were looking for someone to come and overtake the Roman army that was against them. And they were getting confused. That's why they wouldn't accept Jesus, because he was a common person. In many, many ways, he would eat with the people, the common people of the land, and bring healing and salvation. But they missed that particular part. Now I want to read to you the scripture that declares Jesus is coming again. Revelation 19:11. Now I saw heaven open, behold, a white horse. Notice, it's not a donkey this time. It's a white horse. It's a champion, I believe, a big stallion, a war horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Praise the Lord God forever. You see, he's coming back as a king. He's coming back as the Lord of Lords. He is coming back as the righteous Holy One. And this is awesome news to those who are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Awesome news. The King is coming in His glory. The King is coming. The King is coming in His glory to smite the nations who would rise up against Him. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, those who have submitted to the King, it's a wonderful, wonderful reason to rejoice. To those who haven't submitted, it's another story. It's another story. Listen to what the Bible says about those who have not submitted to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords when Jesus comes back. Now, I'm going to read the scripture, but I want you to think about this. Do you know somebody who hasn't submitted to the King? Is there some way that you could influence somebody that they might recognize their need to be a part of the kingdom of heaven? Don't only rejoice in the fact that you've been saved, but look to God for His power to move through you so that other people can be saved as well. Listen to what happens with people who aren't a part of the kingdom of God. Revelation 6:15, and the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of His wrath has come, and who is able to stand? See, that's a different concept altogether. If you're not a part of the kingdom of heaven, the wrath of God is coming. But you and I need to rejoice that Jesus is coming again. Rejoice that He's coming and setting this whole earth free. Rejoice, because Jesus Christ has reached down and touched your life. You know, I'm convinced that we see these pictures sometimes of God, a man reaching up to God, and God reaching down to man. You see these hands coming together. I'm not convinced that it's like that at all, because I wasn't even looking for God, and He reached way down into the muck and mire that I was in, and He picked me up. And I thank God for it. You see, even my salvation was God's doing. All I had to do was yield. And God is wooing people all around the world today, and all they have to do is yield. Say, Lord, I receive Your forgiveness. I realize I need a Savior. And what the Lord will do, you see, God picked me up, and it was like, you know, we know the story about the treasure in the Bible, that, you know, God, that man seeks after a great treasure. Well, God looked at me, and He picked me up, and He seen a treasure in me. And you know that? God sees treasure in everyone. But He picked me up, and when He picked me up, I didn't look like a treasure. I didn't look like anything that was worthy of heaven at all. But when he picked me up, he began to cleanse me. He began to use the precious blood of Jesus to wash away my sin. He began to wash away all the grime that I had got on me from all this world system and living in my rebellion and pride and so forth. He began to take care of that and get rid of all that. And his work in me changed me to look like something totally different. And he would now use this treasure that he found for something totally different than what I was using for. See, there was a day in my life that I was using everything in me to serve the devil, running the wrong way, running away from God. And whether we realize it or not, if we weren't saved, you were too. There's no in between. One more thing that citizens of the kingdom must understand. That in the kingdom, that the kingdom is a kingdom, not a democracy. And in the kingdom, we don't get a vote. We don't get a vote in the kingdom. Jesus, the king, decides the rules. He sets the laws in place. He puts everything down and says, I created you. I know what's best for you. And you and I are to put ourselves by faith in his hands and say, yes, Lord, I believe you created me, so you must know what's best for me. So I'm going to follow your direction. I'm going to follow the rules and regulations of the kingdom of God. And the scripture says, one of the rules and regulations of the kingdom of God is this. This is why we come together. The scripture says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as is the habit of some, but come together and exhort one another unto good works. And actually it says, and even more so as you see the day approaching, even more so as you see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords returning very soon. He's coming back very quickly. I rejoice in that fact. I look forward to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I don't know if I'll see him coming in the clouds, if I'll still be here. I don't know, but maybe I'll be one of those guys coming with him. The Bible talks about a great cloud of witnesses coming with him. We're either going to see him coming in the cloud or we're going to be with him. And I just got a sense that just as those people praised Jesus when he rode up on that donkey, that we're going to be there and we're going to be, all our eyes are not going to be on the battle that we're going to win. We're going to be on the King. Our eyes are going to be on the King because he's so glorious. He's so wonderful. He's so pure. He's so holy. But yet he's so mighty and powerful. Hallelujah. Stand up, please. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. We give you glory, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, I can't go through this message without... If you don't see yourself as a citizen of the kingdom, I want to give you that opportunity today. And I know most of us here would have already declared, we would say that Jesus Christ is Lord. But maybe there's somebody that has never taken that step here this morning. Or maybe there's a whole bunch of us who don't really realize that we are citizens of another kingdom. That we are citizens of the kingdom of God. And that there are benefits of being in that kingdom. And that we haven't learned to walk in them and the benefits. So I want us to pray a prayer just declaring before God that we see ourselves as citizens of King Jesus. That Jesus Christ is King and we are so proud of the King. We so, you know, hundreds and thousands and people watch when a president of the United States goes through the office of declaring him as president of the United States and so forth. Millions of people observe that. And some of them are so, you know, you would almost think that it was Jesus that they were acknowledging. And it's kind of sad, actually, when you watch the whole thing. But think of it. The one who is coming, Jesus, he's the only one that deserves all those accolades. He's the only one that deserves all that praise. And you and I have an opportunity to give it to him while we're here for him to recognize what we think about him. If you want to make a step toward that in a greater measure, I invite you to repeat this prayer after me. Say this with me. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the revelation that comes to us through his precious word. Dear God, I see myself in need of a Savior. And I see that Savior as the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask Jesus to come into my life to change me, that I might be conformed to His image. Help me, Lord, to recognize that I'm a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. I belong to King Jesus. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. I confess today that I want no part with the God of this world. I cast Him out in the name of Jesus. I declare Jesus means everything to me. Now, dear God, help me to understand that I'm a citizen of the kingdom of heaven and that I'm a beneficiary of the benefits of heaven. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, one of the reasons that we are starting to having monthly healing services starting in April is because we believe that this is a benefit that comes from God. Let me read to you in Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits. Who forgives all our sins, who heals all our diseases. So we see that healing of the body is a part of the benefits of the citizenship of heaven. And so we're starting these meetings and monthly meetings and really believing that we are going to see the power of God demonstrated in healing in a greater measure than what we've seen before. And you might say, well, Pastor, you know, I've prayed for people and they died. Well, I have too. And I'm sad about that, and I don't know why that is. But I do know that the Word of God says that by the stripes of Jesus Christ, we are healed. So I'm going to have to choose to have faith in what I've seen happen in the natural when I prayed for somebody and they didn't make it. I'm going to choose to believe that, or I'm going to have to choose to believe God's Word that says by His stripes, we are healed. I choose to believe God's Word over what I see with my eyes. And I believe the more we walk in faith and declare God's Word in that area, we are going to see more of the miracle working power of God, where people will come out of wheelchairs, where cancers will drop off, and so forth. And you know, it's not as if it's not happening now. There's all kinds of reports all around the world, documented cases where people are healed by the power of God. Amen. And I say, Lord, if You can do it anywhere in the world, You can do it here.
Hallelujah.
And we're going to believe You.
Yes, Lord.
We're going to believe that greater measure of the healing power of God is going to be manifested in our midst. In Jesus, will you have faith with me to believe that?